25th of Kislev is going to be the most incredible festival, the festival of lights, the festival of Hanukkah. 8 days we're going to celebrate. We gather around the entire family. We have the menorah. We put it by the window for everybody to see. And just as night arrives, we light the first candle. The first night, there are three blessings that are going to be said, followed by certain Tehillim and Ma'osur, and it's a very special time of the year. Outside it's dark and it's cold, and inside it's warm and it's glowing. And we celebrate this, and throughout the Jewish nation, wherever you go, people are celebrating this festival, and the question is, what are we celebrating? We know on Pesach, comes to Pesach, we're celebrating our freedom. We became a free nation, we left Egypt. We eat the matzah, we lean, we sit at the Seder table, we're free. On Shavuot, we all know that we received the Ten Commandments, the Torah. On Sukkot, we all know that we had this beautiful time for 40 years in the wilderness where HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with us and protecting us. And on Chanukah, we all know that there's a miracle that occurred. What was that miracle? Let's take a look back into history. It is around 200 years BCE. And there is a wicked king by the name of Antiochus. And he ruled the Syrian Greek Empire, and known as the Yevanim in Hebrew. And they came and they were a tough rulers. In fact, there were four different Antiochus. That was a famous name. And he enacted certain edicts against the Jewish religion. Number one, he said Jews are not allowed to have Brit Milah. Number two, he said there's no Rosh Chodesh anymore. There's not going to be any new year, new month celebrations commemorating the new month. He wanted to get rid of the Jewish calendar. What else did he want to get rid of? If you want to attack your enemy, you want to defeat them. If you want to defeat Judaism, no Brit Milah, no Rosh Chodesh, no Shabbat. And there are other decrees that others say were added over here, and he wanted to destroy, right? Because if a Jew doesn't have a Shabbat, then we don't really have anything, because Shabbat is the center of the week. The calendar is the center of our every single day. And the Brit Milah is something which is on us on a constant basis, reminding us that God has a covenant with us. And he said, I'm not going to destroy the Jewish people, but I just want you to assimilate. Eventually, the Maccabees arose, a few in number, led by Matityahu, a Maccabee, and they defeated the Greeks. It was an incredible, miraculous time. It didn't happen in one day. It wasn't the Six-Day War, and it wasn't a few. It was years, and they had to fight against this mighty nation, and it all began near Modi'in over there. And it wasn't easy for them, and they had to hide in caves. But eventually they got rid of the Greek, massive Greek army after many years. They came to the temple and they found over there, they were looking for the pach, a little jar of oil. They go and they search and they find the jar of oil, which has the Kohen Gadol seal. Every jar had a seal. But the Greeks, when they came into the temple, what did they do? They wanted to contaminate all the oils. How do you contaminate oil? You can touch it, you can open it, you can use it for Avodah Zarah. You can do many things. You can dedicate it. They didn't actually use the oil. They just contaminated it. And they said, you can now use the oil if you want. But the Jews were not happy when they finally came in and they banished the Greeks who had stuck an idol in the temple. They weren't happy. So what did they do? They looked and looked and looked and looked until they found this jar of oil. And there was only one jar of oil. They put it into the menorah. They lit it. The jar was supposed to light for one day, and it lit, as we know, miraculously for 8 days. That's a massive miracle. You take some oil, you go to Tesco, right? You go and you buy some oil from Kosherking, and you put it into the menorah, and it's only supposed to last for one day, and it lasts for 8 days. Hirvachta, you have now made a good profit. You've done good. So the Jewish people were very excited, and the next year, they made it into a festival. Hashem has given us a massive miracle, make it into a festival. It was a tough time, but it was a miraculous time. And the question I want to ask today is, we have two main miracles. The first miracle is the miracle of the war. It was a war of the few against the many, the weak against the strong, and nevertheless, the Jewish Maccabees pushed away these Assyrian Greeks with their elephants and their tanks of those days and modern warfare, and the tiny Jewish rebels were able to defeat them. And then you have a second miracle, the miracle of the lights, that it lights for 8 days. So the question I want to ask is, which is a greater miracle? Which is a greater miracle that occurred to the Jewish people? Is it the lighting of the menorah, which lasted for 8 days? Or would you say that were it not for the war against the Greeks, we wouldn't be here today as well? Because maybe the Greeks would have succeeded in assimilating Jews. What's happening today? We read a few in Parshat Vayishlach. It's written, Yaakov is afraid that Esav is approaching him. And he says, Hatzileni na, please save me, God, from my brother, Miad, Achi Miad Esav, from Esav. And all the rabbis stand up and say, we know, it's like, you don't know who his brother is. If I say, save me from my brother, and I mention his name, I don't need to say, either say, save me from Esav, or save me from my brother. What's it mean? There are many different explanations. One of the explanations, I believe, is Kedusha Terevi, Beit Terevi says, Hatzileni na miyad achi, save me from my brother. There are two times in life where we have wars. There's a war, there's a war against our existence. In two manners. Number one, like the Nazis, they want to get rid of the Jews. They want to destroy, they want to kill every single Jew that they can. And number two is assimilation. We want you to assimilate. We want you to become part of the nations around. Take off the kippah, take off the tzitzit, take off your religion, get rid of everything that's happened before. Yaakov said, I'm worried. I'm worried Esau's going to try and physically kill me, but I'm also worried maybe he'll be my friend. And if he's too friendly with me, and I have to be too assimilated, then I'm going to get lost. Whereas Judaism believes we can be living in the country, respecting the country, giving to the country, helping the resources, but remain Jewish as well. Just like you have a football team, you have a captain, you have an attacker, you have a defender, you have a midfielder. We're all in a team over here. Doesn't mean that the defender now has to lose his job as a defender and become an attacker because everyone's talking about whoever's scoring goals at the time and they're the best player in the world. If he's good in defense, that's where he should play. Everybody's got their own chelek, their own portion, and the Jewish people have got their chelek. So here there was an attack against our physicality because the Greeks, there was a war and the Jews beat them. So maybe that's a massive miracle. It was an attack against our spirituality, but at the end of the day, there was a war as well. Or do we say that the bigger miracle was the candles? So in order to understand this, we need to go and look a little bit more into this miracle and to understand the festival of Hanukkah. We have two festivals that are the Rabbanan, from the rabbis. All the other festivals, main festivals, are from the Torah. The Torah tells us to have Shavuot, Pesach, Sukkot. And the rabbis instituted the festival of Chanukah and Purim. Purim occurred at the time of Ahasuerus, Haman, and Queen Esther. And the time the Jewish people were in Persia, we know the story. Haman wanted to destroy the entire nation. And afterwards, there was the massive miracle in which we survived. Till today, the Jewish people, we sit down, we make a massive feast, the mishteh, and we're drinking and we're eating. On Purim, we celebrate physically. On Hanukkah, we celebrate spiritually. Why? Because on Purim, they wanted to destroy the physical Jewish being. They wanted to destroy the Jewish people like the Nazis wanted to destroy us. So when we celebrate physically. We say, hey, we're still here, we're eating, we're drinking. We celebrate with drink. On Hanukkah, they wanted to destroy the neshama. Everyone here is made of a neshama and a guf. And there's a constant battle. And our aim in life is to realize this. The guf, the body, is here for 120 years. Then it goes and it disintegrates. But the neshama is here forever and ever and ever. It's incredible. We know that. We feel that. Go to a chuppah, under the chuppah, as our rabbis tell us, who is there? All the previous generations are coming under the chuppah. The neshamot are coming. Person lo aleinu needs to go for a yahrzeit to the graveyard. They go and they pray over there. Who are they praying to? What are they praying to? Bones? They're praying to the neshama. They're praying to Hashem. In honor of the neshama, a person dedicates the shi'ur, le'ilui nishmat. So that there's an elevation to the neshama. Why? The person lived 100 years ago. The person lived 50 years ago. People are fasting on 7th of Adar because that's when Moshe Rabbeinu passed away. Why? Because it's an ilui for his neshama. We believe in the neshama. The neshama is the soul. And on Hanukkah, the Greeks wanted to destroy the soul. And therefore, what happened on Hanukkah is there was hit aruta de le'ela. God opened the heavens. And this is very important to understand Hanukkah, Rabotai. On Purim, before Purim occurred, the Jewish people fasted. Before they fought the war, they fasted. And the whole nation fasted. Esther and the entire nation fasted. So Hashem said, okay, you're fasting. You did something called hit aruta de le'tata. You made an effort down here. I'm going to make an effort up there. And Hashem saved us. On Hanukkah, it's the other way around. Hanukkah already, Hashem opened the heavens and He showered us with a blessing. What's the blessing? The blessing is the war, but the blessing is the 8 days. Those 8 days represent what? They represent Hitaruta de Le'ela, the great awakening from above. Which means Hanukkah is a time which focuses on the soul, but it's also a time where there's a lot of bracha coming from above. In fact, the Magen Avraham says on Hanukkah, we give to the poor. Somebody, if a poor person comes knocking on the door, it's good to give tzedakah. On Purim, we don't wait for them to come knocking on the door. We go and we give shlachmanot. We go and we give matanot le'evyonim. We're going out there and giving. Why? Because on Hanukkah, the main focus is on the neshama. And guess what? Who is better off? Who does better for who? Does the rich benefit more from giving to the poor, or does the poor benefit more from the rich? When a rich man gives a poor person £500 and he says, "Here, b'chavod, now you've got to fulfill your week," who's benefiting more? The poor person, now he can go and he can buy a whole chunk of things. He's benefiting and his family's going to be excited. Says our rabbis, no. The rich man benefits more than the poor, because more than the rich gives to the poor is giving to the rich. By the poor being there, he's facilitating the fact that the rich can give. And by the rich giving, he's getting back much more. Hence on Hanukkah, if someone knocks, then we're going to give. The poor person is already coming towards us. He's already there so that we just give. Because the whole focus is on our neshama. Physically, the poor person's gaining. He's gaining £500. But spiritually, the rich person is gaining because he's gaining the neshama. Hence on Hanukkah, the focus is on the neshama. God created the world in 7 days. On the first day, we know that there was Shamayim Va'aretz. On the second day, you have night and day, you have Shamayim Va'aretz, you have the waters are mixed. On the third day, He moves the land. And on the fourth day, there's the sun, stars, moon, etc. created. It's a famous question. If God created the sun, star, moon on the fourth day, so what's the light that was around on the first day? Because there was night and day. There was the evening and night, and there was the first day. So where's the light that's going on? What is the light? So on this, our rabbis tell us that the first day, there was something called the Or Haganuz. Or Haganuz. The Or Haganuz. The special light that is in the treasure house. It's hidden. That was there, that was there. It's a primordial light that was very shiny and very, very spiritual. And it was there for the Sunday, and it was there for the month. It was there until HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to hide it. Comes along Adam onto the scene, Adam HaRishon, but unfortunately, he sins. Adam HaRishon is there and he sins Friday. So Hashem says, no problem, you sinned on Friday. Not a problem. I'm going to punish you, but I'm not going to punish you yet. I'm going to give you Shabbat. really, as soon as he sinned, he should have been taken out of Gan Eden. But he was allowed to stay in Gan Eden throughout the whole of Shabbat. On Motzei Shabbat, what happened? And therefore, what happened on Hanukkah is there was Hit Aruta de Le'ela. God opened the heavens. And this is very important to understand Hanukkah, Rabotai. On Purim, before Purim occurred, the Jewish people fasted. Before they fought the war, they fasted. And the whole nation fasted. Esther and the entire nation fasted. So Hashem said, okay, you're fasting. You did something called Hitaruta Diletata. You made an effort down here. I'm going to make an effort up there. And Hashem saved us. On Hanukkah, it's the other way around. Hanukkah already, Hashem opened the heavens. And He showered us with a blessing. What's the blessing? The blessing is the war, but the blessing is the 8 days. Those 8 days represent what? They represent Hitaruta de Le'ela, the great awakening from above. Which means Hanukkah is a time which focuses on the soul, but it's also a time where there's a lot of bracha coming from above. In fact, the Magen Avraham says on Hanukkah, we give to the poor. Somebody, if a poor person comes knocking on the door, it's good to give tzedakah. On Purim, we don't wait for them to come knocking on the door. We go and we give shlachmanot. We go and we give matanot le'evyonim. We're going out there and giving. Why? Because on Hanukkah, the main focus is on the neshama. And guess what? Who is better off? Who does better for who? Does the rich benefit more from giving to the poor, or does the poor benefit more from the rich? When a rich man gives a poor person £500 and he says, hey, b'chavod, now you've got to fulfill your week. Who's benefiting more? The poor person, now he can go and he can buy a whole chunk of things. He's benefiting and his family's going to be excited. Says our rabbis, no. The rich man benefits more than the poor. Because more than the rich gives to the poor is giving to the rich. By the poor being there, he's facilitating the fact that the rich can give. And by the rich giving, he's getting back much more. Hence on Hanukkah, if someone knocks, then we're going to give. The poor person is already coming towards us. He's already there so that we just give. Because the whole focus is on our neshama. Physically, the poor person's gaining. He's gaining £500. But spiritually, the rich person is gaining because he's gaining the neshama. Hence on Hanukkah, the focus is on the neshama. God created the world in 7 days. On the first day, we know that there was Shamayim Va'aretz. On the second day, you have night and day, you have Shamayim Va'aretz, you have the waters are mixed. On the third day, He moves the land. And on the fourth day, there's the sun, stars, moon, etc. created. The famous question, if God created the sun, star, moon on the fourth day, so what's the light that was around on the first day? Because there was night and day. Va'yere, va'yiboke, yom. There was the evening and night, and there was the first day. So where's the light that's going on? What is the light? So on this, our rabbis tell us that the first day, there was something called the Or Haganuz. Or Haganuz. The Or Haganuz. The special light that is in the treasure house. It's hidden. That was there. That was there. It's a primordial light that was very shiny and very, very spiritual. And it was there for the Sunday. And it was there for the month. It was there until HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to hide it. Comes along Adam onto the scene, Adam HaRishon, but unfortunately, he sins. Adam HaRishon is there and he sins Friday. So Hashem says, no problem, you sinned on Friday. Not a problem. I'm going to punish you, but I'm not going to punish you yet. I'm going to give you Shabbat. Really, as soon as he sinned, he should have been taken out of Gan Eden. But he was allowed to stay in Gan Eden throughout the whole of Shabbat. On Motzei Shabbat, what happened?
It becomes dark as
well. It became completely dark. And Adam HaRishon thought the whole world is finished. That's the end of my world. I don't know what's going on. It's dark. Like, God forbid, the person needs to go for an MRI scan or go for this. They realize, claustrophobic in here. What's going on? And Hashem said, no. It's not the end of the world, but now you're going to go out of Gan Eden. And it is at that moment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught him how to put two stones together and to make fire. Hence, every Motzei Shabbat, what do? We do Havdalah. And what do? In Havdalah, we take the wine and we make a blessing on the wine. Then we take the Besamim and we make a blessing on the Besamim. Why are we making a blessing on the Besamim? Because if you ever feel faint, you need to breathe something in through your nostrils. You smell something, it can waken you up. Motzei Shabbat, we feel faint. Why? Because our extra neshama that we had on Shabbat, it's leaving us. So to supplement that, we breathe in on the Havdalah candle, on the Havdalah Besamim. And then we have the Havdalah candle. Why are we lighting a candle Saturday night? Because Saturday night is the time that Adam HaRishon first learned how to make fire. Because he's just come out of Gan Eden and he's got to know how to put in the lights. So he puts in the lights. So what do we see from here? Hashem extended the Or HaGanuz for an entire day, half a day of the Friday, plus the entire Shabbat. That was the Or HaGanuz. You understand? Okay. Says the Rokeach, on Hanukkah, we light one candle on the first night, two on the second, three on the third, fourth, five, six, seven, eight. Without the Shamash. The Shamash is just the lighter. Without the Shamash, how many candles are we lighting over the entire Hanukkah? 1 + 2 = 3 + 3 = 6.
48,
maybe. +4 = 10. +5 + 6 = 7. 36. 36. No, 8. 36. Exactly 36 candles. This 36 candles that you're going to light on Hanukkah represent the 36 hours of this extra Or HaGanuz that was there. It was 12 hours of Friday plus the 24 hours, 36 hours. Do you know what that means? That means the lights of candles on Hanukkah are representing God's primordial light. It means that the heavens we mentioned are open. It means that it's a very special time in which you can pray for what you want, in which there are miracles occurring. How are those miracles shown, Rabotai? How are those miracles shown? Those miracles shown are with the menorah. What do we do with the menorah? Where do we place the menorah? The menorah is placed at the window. The menorah is placed low down. Normally we don't do mitzvot low down. The menorah is supposed to be low down. The menorah is placed at the entrance of the doorstep. You're supposed to have the mezuzah on the right. You can have the menorah as you're entering on the left. And you come in with your tzitzit. You have tzemach. Et tzemach David avdecha me'era tatzmiach. Tzadi et tzitzit. You have the mem is mezuzah and the chet is chanukiah. You have tzemach. Tzemach represents the geula. You are coming into your house. You're surrounded by all these mitzvot. We go out on Hanukkah. We light into the streets. It's very original. What are we doing? We are celebrating the miracle of the lights. Why are we celebrating the miracle of the lights and not necessarily the miracle of the wall? The miracle of the wall we do celebrate. We do commemorate it in the Amidah, when we say Allah Nisim, and in the average Joe on the street. Tell me about Allah Nisim. Do you know it off by heart? Well, I don't know. Where do you even say Allah Nisim? What is Allah Nisim? You ask the average Joe on the street about the menorah. Everyone knows about the menorah. You see it in the ministry in Israel. You come to certain synagogues, you have it. You have it on the shekel. The menorah is famous. You go to outside into the malls, it's got the menorah. Why the focus on the menorah? Because the menorah represents the miracles. So what? So does the war? Listen to this. How do you know the relationship? How do you know if a parent really loves their child? Do you know if a parent loves their child if they buy them a shirt, a vest and pants? Does that show them that they love their child? No. Why? Because it's to be expected that you give me a vest and pants and a shirt and a trousers. You're going to enable me. But when do you really know? When the parent goes me'alu me'eva, they go, they buy them a football ticket, they come and they buy them some nice presents, they buy them a car, they help them out more than they need to, then you know that there's extra love in the relationship. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to save us physically, there's a battle, there's a war, okay, we need to be saved. We're Am Yisrael, we're going to survive. That's the necessity. But Hashem to make us have a miracle with lights that don't even matter, It doesn't matter to anyone. Big deal. Who cares if there would have been a miracle or there wouldn't have been a miracle? We're still around. That's like, that's the buying of the present. And therefore, the menorah is actually the miracle that matters the most, because it shows us that at the darkest time of the year, Hashem is in love with us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still around. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still with Am Yisrael. We took a trip to Rome a few years ago, Baruch Hashem, last year, and it was incredible. And what do we see over there in Rome? You see the arch of Titus's arch. It's been there for nearly 2,000 years, 1,900 and something years, and it's still today, it's there. And what do you see on it? You see the Yidden are walking back with the menorah from the Beit HaMikdash and being whipped and being tortured and taking around, but the menorah is there. The menorah is there. The Romans put it over there because they wanted to show that they have triumphed over Am Yisrael. And it's the end of Am Yisrael. If you lived then, 1,950 years ago roughly, then you would believe it's the end. There's no Israel. It's been ransacked. The Jews are scattered amongst the world. We're never going back. How are we ever going to get Jews from all over the place to come back? It's never really going to happen. And so the Romans put it there. And when we went to visit there, it was a different message. It was a message of Am Yisrael Chai. It was a message that we're still around. And actually, thank you for putting it there, because now we know that the menorah was still shining. That menorah, that message of the menorah, Hashem wants it to still be relevant. I looked at it and I said, wow, Hashem wants to show me, I'm still thinking about you. I took you into Galut. Immo anochi besara, says the Pasuk. I'm with you in your pain. God already said it in the Prophet. I mean, you're going to be in tough times. I'm still with you. So every Hanukkah, when Hanukkah occurs, we go and we take the family and we go out to the street and we say, we're still around. Immo anochi besara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still with us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu still cares for us. It's the darkest time of the year. Kislev is known by the Sefer Yetzirah. It's like sleep. Every month has got this physical sense. Sleep and dreaming. Most of the dreams in the entire Torah occur in the month of Kislev. Yosef's dream, Yaakov's dream, the butler's dream, Paro's dream. It's all about dreams. Because we also have a dream. We also have a dream. We have a dream to be one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the problem is, there's darkness out there. The Greeks have brought the darkness, assimilation. There's a weighing of our priorities. And we need this time when you're in a dark room and you need to see, find your place, you need a bit of light. And therefore we light the candles to show us the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, when it comes to Hanukkah, by the menorah, it's supposed to be lit. At Seta Kochavim, just as the darkness comes upon us, we light the candles. That half an hour is very important to say the Tehillim, to pray, and to understand that it's not just remembering the miracles, but it's also a time for our own personal miracles. It's a very special and unique time that we can pray for anything that we personally need, and on a personal level and on an Am Yisrael level. B'ezrat Hashem, with that in mind, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bring us miracles and more miracles like He did in the past, and we should see the Gula Krova B'mehera B'yameinu. Amen. Amen.